Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I got a very special show for you today. We're going to actually dive deep in with some friends and spend a little bit more quality time with them than usual because I'm actually traveling, so I had to tape in advance, and I'll tell you all about that in a couple weeks. But it does give me the opportunity to spend a little bit more time than we typically do when we're live with people like Roz from the UK, who is on Scuba Radio right now. Roz, how are you?
Hello, Greg. I'm fine. Are you well?
I'm good. I'm feeling good. I'm actually taking a little vacation, so we're going to record some stuff with you and kind of catch up because we haven't yet had you on the show recently, and there's been so much going on, especially when it comes to the the rescue divers from Thailand, which you were heavily involved in covering that whole thing from a diver's perspective. It was good work that you did on many levels, and we did. You know, I mean, that was the last time we talked, I believe, was back when you were doing all that stuff.
That was July.
Yeah, it's been too long. Come on, Roz. So we got to catch up. We have to spend some quality time together and find out what's been going on diving-wise across the pond, and you're my conduit for that. So are you ready? Are you ready to share?
Right.
Okay.
I've got some new research for you.
New research?
That's just been released.
Okay.
Yes.
About what?
Okay. Sorb.
Sorb.
You know, when we breathe, we put softener lime, we put soda lime in to scrub out the carbon dioxide.
Right.
And it's called sorb. It's called softener lime. It's called ferrosorb. But basically, it takes out the carbon dioxide. And divers have been doing a best guess on about storing this. So, for instance, if you're on a liverboard,
mm-hmm.
perfectly possible Wednesday afternoon, you'll ditch your old sorb, put new sorb in place, do an hour's dive, and then you're not diving until Thursday morning. And divers are wondering, is that actually okay? Because, you know, the scrubber will last for 3 hours. You've done 1 hour. So technically, you've got 2 hours left. Can you do it?
Hmm.
And so Professor Simon Mitchell and Professor Neil Pollock, so University of Auckland, University of Laval, they've actually gone into the lab and they did some research, and it was funded by Shearwater Research, which was fantastic. And they looked at if it's safe to do it, and they've discovered that yes, it is. And they also looked at, for instance, if you dive your rebreather on a Saturday afternoon in the first week of month, and then you do an hour's dive, and then you're not going to dive again until the last weekend of the month, what can you do with your sorb? And so they've looked at how you can store your canister, whether you just put it on a garage shelf or you put it into a bag on a garage shelf,
mm-hmm.
and what impact that will have. And they did a lot of research in the lab. AP Diving provided a rebreather and lots of scrubber canisters, and they used the same batch of sorb for the whole test period, and they had the same person packing for scrubber canisters for the whole test period.
Mm-hmm.
So they replicated it all as much as possible, and they wrote up a paper. It went into Diving and Hyperbaric Medicine. It got published in June, and ordinarily you and I wouldn't get to see this for at least a year.
Why is that?
Because we don't subscribe to this specialist journal. It's a very, you know, it goes out to diving doctors and hyperbaric doctors. However, Eurotech, last time we held Eurotech, we raised some money. Our charity raffle raised some money, and it went into a research fund for the two profs. And Simon Mitchell came to me and said, could we please use some money to pay the early release fee on this paper? So we've done that. Eurotech's paid the early release fee.
That's nice.
And this paper's now out there. So I've written it up. It's on X-Ray Magazine. So every diver in the world who's a rebreather diver can now read this, and they can now download this paper, and they've got some proper definitive answers. We've now got a baseline for sorb storage, for partially dive sorb storage.
That's
divers.
Quite a sob, so this is actually, sob story. I couldn't help myself. Sorb story. Yeah.
That's terrible.
That is. But
this is,
well, that's what
this
I do.
Is really, yeah. This is really good.
It
this
is. It's
know,
very important.
Bit of research on it.
Yeah. I can understand why rebreather divers would want to know, because, you know, that sorb that you use, if you don't use it all up on one dive, yeah, I mean, a lot of them are thinking, well, I'm not going to dive it for another couple days. I need to chuck it and go fresh. And you're wasting a lot of potential sorb, I would imagine, if you do that, right?
Yes and no, Greg. I mean, if you feel that you want to chuck your sorb and pack your scrubber with fresh sorb, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every single time.
But
if you've got
waste.
The money to do it,
yeah.
You've got the...
It costs money.
Do you know what? It's $8 a fill. It's £8 a fill.
Mm-hmm.
But... if you've done a 1 hour dive, you're not going to dive for a couple of weeks, and you want to store it and you want to do another dive for about an hour, then at least you know now what the baseline is.
Right. Right. Do you got to take it out of the rebreather and put it in like a sealed Ziploc tie or something to make sure it's stored properly?
It's better if you put it in a Ziploc bag, yes.
Yeah.
And the paper goes into all of that and explains all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written in plain English so that all rebreather divers can access it. So it's on X-Ray Magazine.
Okay, cool.
And it's up there at the moment, and they've got access to the paper so they can download it and read it. So thanks to Shearwater and AP for helping fund the research, and Eurotech paid the paper release fee. So.
Very nice. Yeah, Eurotech, this big technical diving conference that happens in the UK in December. It's December 1st and 2nd this year. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's in Birmingham, Greg.
Birmingham, okay.
And we've got the Thai Gay Rescue Team speaking.
How about that? You have the Thai Rescue Team is going to be there, and this is the first time they've come together since the big rescue that made the news around the world in July? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's the Brits and the Aussies. It's the cave divers, the Brits and the Aussie cave divers who did the dives. They're coming together and they're doing a big, massive presentation at Eurotech.
Wow, that sounds very cool. So, I mean, is this something that they helped facilitate, or did you do this and said, hey, guys, can we bring you out to Eurotech? How did this come to be?
We said, hey, guys, can you come and speak at Eurotech?
Yes,
and they went,
okay.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So they're planning to give a whole thing and explain what happened from a diving perspective and get kind of in the nuts and bolts of what it took to execute this rescue from, you know, firsthand experience, I guess, right?
It's a really nice behind-the-scenes look at what really happened over in Thailand. Thank you for your comments about the articles that I wrote, because I got told some behind the scenes stuff, so I was able to write it up.
Yes.
But of course, these guys have got the other details that I didn't have at the time. And so they're going to be talking about that.
Mm-hmm. That would be that'll be just a cool thing to witness. To hear their story firsthand like that. So that's going to happen in December. You're going to be there managing this whole thing. You help run that show. Is that right? Eurotech?
That's right.
Yeah, you can check it out. Eurotech, what, dot what, com or?
UK.com.
UK, yeah, there you go. Of course, she's across the pond. She doesn't have that .com thing like we do as much. UK.com. All right, so our UK dot. Whatever, you know, you said
it's Eurotech.uk.com.
That's what I said. Come on. Well, yeah, it's getting lost in translation. Exactly. So you're hot and heavy into Eurotech planning as we speak right now. Is that right, Roz?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what about DEMA? You're going to be in DEMA in Vegas. That happens even before Eurotech. So you'll be there, won't you, in Vegas?
That's going to be a quick in and out.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to that.
So I am too. And that'll give us a good opportunity to reconnect and do some networking. And I would imagine you'll be there planning some things for Eurotech as you network with some folks here in the States, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I have been told that Fourth Element are going to be unveiling something new and shiny. And I think it's going to be unveiled at DEMA. It should be being unveiled at Eurotech as well.
Wait, new and shiny? I mean, I thought they made like wetsuits and things. How shiny can it be?
Yeah.
Can you say?
You know what it's like, toys, shiny toys. Doesn't matter whether it's a wetsuit or not.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be shiny physically. You're just saying in the metaphorically sense or something like that. Just something new and cool. Fourth Element is planning. Yeah, you know, this is the show where everybody throws it out there. Everyone's putting out new stuff, and obviously is why we go every year. I'm pretty excited about this year. You know, we got a booming economy in the U.S. It'll be interesting to see how this translates for the DEMA show in Vegas. Are you with me on this, Roz? What do you think?
That would be really good. I hope it translates very well.
Yes, I think it will. I'm excited. We'll talk about a few other things that she may see at DEMA, Eurotech, and just some other diving stuff that she's been up to. Roz from the UK is with us on Scuba Radio. Stay close. More with her next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You're listening to Scuba Radio. 20 years.
Make that 21 now.
And still sucking.
Suck.
On air.
Hey, come on. That sting.
You can hear it on Scuba Radio. The world's first scuba diving show. From Captain Ron to Jacques Cousteau, they all love Scuba Radio. On the boat or down below, if you want to stay in the know.
Did you ever think about that? I didn't know.
If you be pressurized there, you'll want to be there on Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I got Roz from the UK with me right now. We've been catching up on some news from across the pond. And she loves this technical diving stuff, whether it's knowing about your sorb, you know, and your rebreather or other deep dives. Or, you know, she's very much into this kind of stuff. Getting ready for Eurotech and, of course, the DEMA show coming up before that here in the States in Vegas. In November, but But look, Roz, I know you got some other stories you've been covering, and I assume you're writing a story about this Bluebird restoration project. Are you literally writing a story about this too, or what?
I'm going to be writing something about it, yes.
Okay.
So Bluebird was a magnificent speedboat, and it was Donald Campbell's record-breaking speedboat. And he was lost on the 4th of July, 1967. He was going for a world speed record, on Lake Coniston. And the first run was fantastic, and he averaged 297 miles an hour.
Wow.
And
that's fast, especially back in those days. That's pretty friggin' fast.
I mean, this is over 50 years ago, Greg, now.
Wow. Okay. So, but there was a crash on the second run.
There was a crash on the second one. The boat flipped. Mm-hmm. It's very famous, iconic footage of a boat flipping, and he's going, "I'm going, I'm going." And the boat flipped, and he died. And Bluebird sunk, and she was in Coniston. And thanks to a very clever engineer called Bill Smith, he's a Geordie. He's from North England.
Now, wait, he's
very
what?
Clever.
He's a Geordie?
He's a Geordie.
That's what you call them? If they're from North England, they're Geordies.
From that particular region, but he's from Newcastle, yes.
All right, I'll just take your word for it. I have no idea, but whatever. Okay, so he's a Geordie, and he orchestrated got a group of tech divers together to go find the Bluebird boat. Is that right, or what?
Yeah, that's right. So he headed up a team, and he and some divers, including a girl called Sally Cartwright, and she's a major deep CCR diver over here in the UK.
Okay.
They spent months searching the very cold water of Lake Coniston, about 4 degrees centigrade. So that's going to be about 38 degrees Fahrenheit.
Cold. Yes.
Yeah. And Sally was asked to go on my team because she was diving a rebreather. And at the time, this is brand new technology. AP Diving's Inspiration had just been launched. There weren't any other rebreathers out there really for recreational divers. And because you couldn't get any gas up there or anything, so that's why they were on rebreathers.
Okay.
And she and Bill spent a long time. They finally found Bluebird, and they found all the bits of Bluebird, and they found Donald Campbell's body, and they recovered everything. And Donald was given a very good service, a funeral service, and he's buried in Coniston.
Okay.
And Bill took Bluebird back to his workshops, and it's taken 17 years of work with them restoring it, and they restored it.
Wow, and so they brought Bluebird back to life.
Yeah,
After they really resurrected it from the depths. Pretty deep, too. You said it was down like 40 meters? So
That's right.
Wow, okay.
So that's going to be what? 1, 4, 2, 4, 8, 3, 4, about 120 foot?
Yeah, so it's fairly deep there. But they're on these rebreathers 18 years ago, and that's when the... I mean, that's at the infancy of the rebreathers really starting to take hold commercially, or, well, border recreational technical side of things, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Absolutely correct, Greg.
So they brought it up, and now they've restored this boat back to its former beauty, and they literally have already taken it out on the lake and did some races with it or something, or what did they do?
So they took it to the Isle of Bute in Scotland because they wanted a very long, very shallow loch. So if it was going to sink, they weren't going to have to dive deep to recover it.
It took them 18 years to do this. They didn't want to go through that nonsense again, obviously.
Exactly. So they took it to Loch Fad, and Loch Fad hospitality was amazing. And the people on Loch Fad were really kind on Bute. And so the team launched her and found that she didn't sink. And they did lots and lots of trials with her. And they've got a Red Arrows pilot who's busy driving her. And they were going faster and faster. So they've now trialed her on Loch Fad. And she's gone back to the workshops for a little bit more work. And then I think she's going on a tour, but I'm waiting to hear.
The Bluebird boat might tour around the world. That's what they're discussing right now, or trying to see if they can work out the logistics. Well, that's a pretty amazing story. So divers were responsible for resurrecting the Bluebird, who was famous back in the day. And obviously, I don't know, how big is this boat? Have you seen, obviously, you've seen pictures of it at least. Have you been face to face with
massive.
It? Yeah, I would imagine it's
I've not met Bluebird yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bill Smith and his team have put a huge amount of work into her.
Yeah, well, I would imagine that would be quite a restoration project if it's been at the bottom of a lake for, you know, 40, 50 years. So,
yes,
but they brought it back to life. It's already done some sea trials and ran. How fast did they take it on the restoration? Did they try to approach any of those speeds that he was going after back in the day? I would guess not.
No.
They just wanted to make sure it would run and stay on top of the water as opposed to below, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's right? Exactly it.
Yeah, but that's a pretty big historical piece of history right there. That's kind of cool. And you were telling me that not only did the those folks that helped resurrect the boat, but when they did the sea trials, they were in the water as safety divers, what, in case it sank again? Is that what was going on?
Yes, so Sally Cartwright, who worked on the original team, who was pretty much the major diver on the original team, was a key safety diver on this one as well, just in case. So just in case something happened, so she could get the pilots out, the pilot out of the cockpit quickly.
Right.
Or they did one trial and the canopy flipped off.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to go searching in Loch Fad to find the canopy.
Hmm. Okay. So, I mean, that sounds like a crazy gig. I don't know how you get into that other than you just happen to get connected to the story and then it becomes a labor of love. Is that kind of what it was, you think?
That's exactly it. Wow. That's exactly it. There's so many people. I think there was 14 engineers and 98% of the original material was saved or melted down or welded back onto the boat.
That's amazing. So Who would have thought something that long underwater could be resurrected and operational again? Well, there you go. Roz from the UK telling us in the world. And we got more with her next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master and Roz from the UK. We just got a couple minutes with her left. And I figure we ought to finish it up with something short and sweet. And that brings us to what some new cookbook that you're involved with or you're aware of. Is that right, Roz, or what?
You remember last year I went to Normandy and I dived with Normandy Rex for D-Day Rex?
Yes, I remember. That was very interesting stuff for sure.
Right, so I was diving in a book on a boat called the MV Salute.
Okay.
And Frida, who's a cook on there, is just, her food is to die for.
Okay.
And Frida and Al, her husband, who's the skipper, who's a good skipper, they've just published a book called 40 Dives, 40 Dishes. Hmm. And it's got some of Frida's amazing cooking in here that you can cook at home yourself, and it talks about some of the dives that you can do off Salute and what we've done, like the Susan B. Anthony, which I did last year in Normandy.
Okay, so she was the cook on the boat, it's a couple that run the boat, and you were on it, and you were raving not just about the diving but the food on board.
Yes.
And so they came out with a cookbook that has just been released. Now, is it like seafood and stuff? Is any of that kind of stuff going
on,
too?
It's mixture. It's cakes and it's biscuits, mm-hmm. as in English biscuits.
Okay.
And it's soups and burgers and fish dishes and things.
American hamburgers?
American hamburgers. British style, yes.
Oh, British style.
I've been wanting to eat Frida's food for years because... you know, I heard in the late 90s about her being such an amazing cook in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And these stories were coming out about, you know, get on the MV Salute because you can go wreck diving. And by the way, Frida will feed you a lot and it's amazing food.
Hmm.
So I'd been waiting 20 odd years to be able to get on the boat and eat her food and go diving.
So it's a little step above just having like bangers and mash on your surface interval every time. Does she make those too, or is that like low class food? What do you think?
She does bangers and mash, but, you know, she's got baked fish and crusted sea salt. And,
I'm getting hungry. Yeah. Quit talking about food. We got a show to do, Roz. By the way, what's the website to order that book if someone wanted to get a hold of it?
I think it's on Amazon, but it's called 40 Dives, 40 Dishes, and it's by Alan Frieda Wright.
Google it. Thanks, Roz.
Thanks, Greg. Talk to you next time.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Jackie and Peter are fun. They go to concerts. They are both getting their scuba licenses.
Hey, don't like scuba people.
Uh-huh.
I'm a dry land guy.
I know how you feel about fish people.
No, fish people are the worst, okay?
Scuba, scuba. I think you should give it to me.
Scuba, scuba.
What?
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
You know, baby.
Scuba boy, won't you take me there too?
That was a party.
Scuba boy.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
As they should. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And it's been a while since we've had him on the show, so it's time we caught up with our favorite, well, you know, he's not just Eric Douglas. He's a
paperback writer.
A diver, so he incorporates the two, and he does I don't know, you do hard copies and stuff too, so not just paperbacks, I guess, right? And now audiobooks, you do a little bit of everything, Eric, right?
You know, I'm trying to get stories in any format people are willing to absorb them, whether they're reading, listening. I you know, if somebody would come up with the money, we'd make a movie.
God bless them. Yes, indeed. Yes, but they're great stories. You can go to booksbyeric.com and start ordering today. But we got some big stuff to cover because you've had so much going on. I mean, you've been pretty much waterlogged since that Hurricane Flo, I guess. So that gives you more writing time. Is that true?
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't been able to get out and play under the water. Just trying to stay out of the water lately. And
well, your scuba gear was emergency equipment.
Exactly. You know the old saying that if your tanks are empty, all you are is a snorkeler. So I've got three tanks setting up back, and I was ready to go just in case. But
yeah.
Fortunately, I live on the side of a hill, so it wasn't. We were never directly threatened. I'll give you that.
Okay. Yeah. So Eric Douglas, he's in West Virginia. I mean, how much did it even affect you? Did it affect you much at all, or not really?
You know, we got some rain, but most of it hit just to the south of us in Virginia, in Roanoke, and those that part of Virginia, mm-hmm. Richmond, the kind of central Virginia areas. So we didn't get too bad, but we were up until the last minute. We were preparing for the worst. They were calling for 10, 12 inches of rain up through here too. But fortunately, most of it went to the east of us.
Well, there you go.
Fortunately for us, not quite so fortunate for the people to the east of us. But
right. Well, at least you're there and you're doing your thing. You have been keeping pretty busy though. And I've seen all these press releases coming out because, you know, I belong to Eric's newsletter or mailing list, so I get these little updates, and then I don't talk to him for a while, and I'm like, wow, you're doing that? That's pretty cool. Let's talk about, first off, more audiobook stuff.
More audio stuff. I wanted to say I've had the newsletter for a while, but you know, I realized after a while that I'd been asking for an awful lot. I'd been saying, hey, buy my new book. And I really hadn't been rewarding my faithful followers and readers for hanging around for so long. So I thought, you know what? I need to give back some more. So we've got all kinds of new stuff up on the website. There's a service called Amazon Polly. It's a machine read text service. So, right. But it's actually really impressive because you can choose about a dozen different voices, and you can it'll breathe at appropriate spots and inflect.
It's pretty
and all
freaky.
This kind of, it is really pretty freaky.
Yeah, so I keep thinking you're going to write something and it's going to say, "Eric, I can't do that." But it does. It's a computer generated voice, but it's kind of creepy, but it's kind of cool too. And it's the way things are going, right?
Exactly. And you hear my voice right now. You don't want to listen to me read through all these stories. I promise you that.
Well,
so I thought this would be a cool way to get audio versions for people who love to either, and you can download them directly actually or listen to them on my website. But there's actually 7 different short stories, and they go everywhere from probably 5 to 10 minutes long, and one of them is actually about 2 hours long. It's actually over 2 pages because it's got about an hour limit. Mm. So there's, if you want to listen to some of this stuff when you're exercising or doing whatever, it's there for you. It's you audio is the wave of the future.
Absolutely. And you know, he has his heart book about, yep. me and Eric both belong to the Zipper Club, and he wrote this very cool book about a bunch of people's experiences. And you actually did the audiobook yourself for that one, which I think
I did narrate that one myself. Yeah. And it's free. I wanted to, instead of charging people for that, I'm not opposed to making money, but I wanted to get that story out to as many people as possible. And of course, I hope that maybe somebody will say, I enjoyed listening to that, but I want to get the printed copy of the book myself. So hopefully I'll get some sales there. But yeah, I did narrate that one myself. I thought that was, since that is my story, that's our story, I felt it was important that I actually did narrate that one and tell that story myself.
Well, it's very good, for sure. And, as far as... Go ahead and help yourself to a drink there.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
It is Scuba Radio Happy Hour time, so it's only appropriate. But as far as those other audiobooks with that are computer-generated, are those the like the Withrow Key ones or the diver-related ones or what?
There's a couple of them that are diver related. A couple of them are just kind of other things. Actually, several of them are Halloween centric, so they're appropriate to this coming holiday coming up in about a month. There's a couple of my horror stories I like to write right around the Halloween time, so you can listen to those. One of them actually ends on a dive boat. If you recall that one, that's called My Name Is Abby. It was actually named after our dear mutual friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't read this one. So this is really? A short story with Mermaid Abby.
It's a short story with Mermaid Abby, although she's not necessarily Mermaid Abby in this one. She's
right.
She's well, you just have to read it or listen to it to hear the story. But yeah, My Name Is Abby is the story on my website, and you can find that link.
Is that one of the audio ones too?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one of the machine. Yep, it's
okay.
On there.
I'll have to check that out. I mean, I know Abby, and we know Mermaid Abby. It's been a while, but, having her encounter some kind of supernatural phenomenon around Halloween, or she herself, is pretty scary at times. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Abby's a unique individual, and we'll just go with that.
Yeah. I've always wondered, Eric is so creative. When you read the books, you're like, where does this stuff come from? And then he incorporates a diving element or a backdrop on a dive boat or whatever, and that's what really sucks you in as a scuba diver. But the writing's just good, but it's very, very creative. I'm like, where are you coming up with this crazy stuff? What inspires you to come up with these stories? I mean, Halloween obviously is a plethora of inspiration, and you can go so down so many alleys with that. And gosh, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, I could imagine, like, when Scuba Radio Mermaids Go Bad. I mean, this is like real life, horror story type stuff.
Is that a book, or was that a
it's a
video
tell-all
series?
Yeah. But I mean, where do you get the inspiration? And is it when you're going out and diving? Is that what
a lot of it? I can remember one story. It's one of the Withrow Key stories, actually, called Queen Conch. And it actually starts out that the beginning of that story describes this conch walking across the bottom. And I actually remember that scene. I think it was down in the Keys for this, but I was doing a dive and literally watching this conch just kind of out away from its shelter, but walking across the sand bottom and going, you know what? I started writing the story right there as I was kind of hovering in the water, just watching this little critter walk across the sand. So yeah, now there have been a lot of times where I've started writing stories in my mind, and then of course as soon as I get back to the surface, I'm making notes, or you know, either in my phone or on paper or wherever, but trying to make notes to remember what I put together when
well,
I was underwater.
Wait a minute. Now conch are pretty crazy looking creatures. Did that inspire one of these horror stories for Halloween?
No. Alien attack creatures inspired by anything I've seen underwater.
I mean, come on. A conch walking across the sand, it's like a goofy looking piece of snot or something. That's pretty alien looking.
Nudibranchs. Think about some of the stuff.
These are like
pretty much everything
beings.
In Avatar.
Well, exactly. That inspired James Cameron. But how did the walking conch inspire a story for you? I mean, what did that do? How did that trigger something?
You know, well, first off, it was just the scene, because I, with a lot of my books and stories, I like to rope, especially my diver readers, I like to rope them in and say, oh, yeah, I've been there before. But then that story actually turns into a story about people harvesting conch illegally and destroying the reefs when they do it and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, he works these eco messages in there sometimes, which is always a good twist to have, and you know, we want to protect what we love, so he mingles this all into the great adventure story, makes it very entertaining. Books by Eric.com. We got more with author Eric Douglas next. Stay close.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
There's been some articles on the web lately about how certain chemicals in sunscreens are bad for you, the environment, and are killing coral. A lot of it is overhyped marketing propaganda. Just know, reef-safe sunscreen by Tropical Seas has been independently tested and scientifically proven to protect you from the sun and not harm ocean inhabitants or the reefs. Since 1995, over $500,000 has been spent in testing to prove what it says it is, reef-safe. Can other sun care companies claim this level of commitment to back up their claims? Not likely. For ReefSafe, it's not about the ingredients as much as how they work together to create a waterproof sunscreen molecule that forms a breathable film on your skin. Plus, ReefSafe biodegrades before creating issues for marine life and the coral we all want to enjoy and protect. So don't be fooled by unscrupulous marketing claims. Go with the original. ReefSafe. Ask for ReefSafe sun care at your dive retailer. Or for more info, go to reefsafesun.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Did you throw a trident?
Yeah, there were horses and a man on fire, and I killed a guy with a trident.
Rick, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by. Lay low for a while, because you're probably wanted for murder.
You know, maybe I can heat up the pool a little before you dive in.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Of course I would. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I do this radio show about diving. I got to dive every once in a while, and I need dive buddy, so I would dive with him or Eric, and who knows. We'd go out on a dive. Next thing you know, he'd end up writing it into some crazy imaginative story. That's what he does, and you can check them all out at booksbyeric.com. So, Eric, as far as getting inspired for some of these stories you write, is it the critters that you see underwater, or is it the locations, or just a combination of both, or what?
It's a little bit of everything, and for the record, you have shown up in two of my stories.
Oh, that's true. Yes. Yeah.
Both Lionfish and Turks and Chaos. Greg Holt and the whole Scuba Radio crew showed up in both of those books.
Yeah, well, they're real-life stories. They're absolutely true. Well, for part of one, I come up as a total ass. But
that was the con man pretending
to be
Greg Holt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I know how people are. They're going to read a few pages like, gosh, wow, Craig is really... Finish the book, okay?
Oh, don't stop after 10 pages. Yes, come on, get through the rest of it.
Right, exactly. But no, they're great. They're very entertaining. But what is it? What inspires you? I mean, obviously, you know, we've had our little adventures, but is it the, I mean, is there any silver bullet in that regard? Or is like when you go on a dive trip?
I wish there was, but it's a little bit of everything. You know, one of my big things for me is wreck diving. I always love the wrecks and the story. When I'm swimming around a shipwreck, I'm always thinking, what was it like, especially real shipwrecks, not artificial reefs, but mm-hmm. I'm always thinking, what was it like when the ship wrecked? You know, what were the people on board thinking? And so that's where my stories start coming from, and my imagination really spins up, is imagining what it was like. There are so many wrecks along like the North Carolina coast that were torpedoed by Japanese U-boats during World War II.
Yeah.
So you start thinking, wow, what was it like for these guys when they got hit by a torpedo, and then they're running to try to get off the boat and save their lives and that kind of stuff. So that's where my imagination really comes from. But no, you know, I wish there was a, I could say, okay, this is today I'm going to get inspiration for a story. I wish it was that easy to sum up, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. I remember one story that's actually the third Mike Scott story. It's called Guardian's Keep. I was in Italy. The story's set in Italy, and I was in Italy. A friend and I were driving down the Autobahn, or the Autostrada, excuse me, in Italy, and I remember noticing these cut. We were going through a tunnel, and I remember there's cutoffs between the north and southbound sides of the Autostrada, and I thought, wow, what would it take to slide a car into that, you know, to be able to make a fast turn and shoot through that cut between the north and southbound side. And then suddenly I had a car chase scene in my head, and you know, mm-hmm. and it just kind of pops up from wherever. I there's no good way to quantify it.
I gotcha. But when you're out there on a dive boat, like, you know, we've dove before down in the Florida Keys, you're just down there, we're catching some lobsters and stuff like that, and you're looking at these things, and then all of a sudden your imagination goes wild, and you write an entire series of books based on a mythical key down in the
exactly
in the Florida Keys. I love it. And he just goes off into these crazy directions, but they're sat right there in that atmosphere that we are at, you know, in the Keys, you know, and as a diver, you can really appreciate it, because it really helps you paint that mental picture if you've been there, and you kind of can relate to what Eric's, you know, that storyline might be totally out off the wall and maybe a little bit far-fetched at times, but you're there, and you can just see it happening. I mean, I love that stuff.
I write to make sure that my non-diving readers can still get it and still enjoy the story. But yeah. But I love it when my diver buddies and friends will read it and they'll go, you know, I was there and I remember that and that was perfect and you described it. I actually just got an email from a new reader just a couple days ago who had just finished the first Mike Scott story, the Cayman Cowboys. And he was telling me about his own dive adventures, and he said, you know, he really loved it, and it just made him feel like he was back underwater on Grand Cayman again. And you know, that's the perfect feeling for me, that it takes people who have that experience. They're not going, oh, that's stupid, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
They enjoy it.
Yeah, well, and I'm in that category as well. And I know anyone listening right now, as a diver especially, will feel the same. Booksbyeric.com. Eric, what do you think? You love working these real news headline type stories into your adventures as well. Obviously, you got Hurricane Flo. Has any hurricane stuff influenced you? Or better yet, from a diving perspective, what about all this red tide and algae bloom crap we're dealing with in Florida? What do you think?
You know, that's a great question, and I can easily see that showing up in a story. I just did the Third Key was just set in the Florida Keys, and then this latest story, water crisis, ends up in Miami. So, but Florida is such a rich diving area, and it's so important to all divers. I can easily see Mike Scott heading back there and definitely delving into that. The next thing I'm working on is a short story prequel. If you remember, in all the books I've said, Mike Scott used to be a photo pro in Grand Cayman, but then he left. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going back and writing a story about why Mike Scott left Grand Cayman.
Ah, you're going to turn him into a young guy again.
I'm going back to 1992 for that story.
Well, there you go. There's your scoop. And for more information, once again, go to booksbyeric.com. Eric, always a pleasure. Stay dry, my friend. Well, at least until we go diving next, okay?
At least until we go diving next.
Yeah, I'm talking about the hurricane they had to deal with. All right, hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving is on deck. We're going to Mexico. Stick around.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.